Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health. My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to live life to its fullest. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together. JJ Virgin says, "It's not about the calories in your food. It's about what those calories tell your body to do." JJ Virgin is a certified nutrition specialist, an exercise physiologist, and board certified in holistic nutrition. Celebrity nutrition and fitness expert teaches clients how to lose weight and master their mindset so they can lead bigger, better lives. She's author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, The Virgin Diet, JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet, and many more. Her new release, Miracle Mindset, explores the powerful lessons in strength and positivity that she learned after her son Grant was a victim of a brutal hit-and-run accident. JJ hosts the popular JJ Virgin Lifestyle Show podcast and regularly writes for Huffington Post, MindBodyGreen, and many other blogs and magazines. JJ is a prominent TV and media personality whose previous features include co-host of TLC's Freaky Eaters, 2 years as the on-camera nutritionist for weight loss challenges on Dr. Phil, and numerous appearances on PBS, Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray, Access Hollywood, and The Today Show. In addition to her work with nutrition and fitness, she's also a business coach and founded the premier health entrepreneur event and community, the Mindshare Summit. JJ says that trying to supercharge your metabolism and burn fat without having the right nutrients is like trying to win a NASCAR race with an empty tank of gas. It is a true privilege to interview JJ today. I have been obsessed with her ideology ever since college, where I read her book, The Virgin Diet, and The Sugar Impact Diet, learning all about food intolerances and her ideology about how your body's a chemistry lab and the nutrients you put into it matter so much more than calories in and calories out. If you are looking to lose weight or going through any food intolerances and not knowing what the culprit is, you are listening to the right episode. JJ says that food intolerance is a hidden cause of weight gain, and if you eliminate the coin diet, foods that may be causing intolerance, you can lose up to 7 pounds in 7 days. JJ has a simple goal to empower you to take your health into your own hands and help you recognize you are 100% worth it. She wants you to help reclaim your health. Today, we will be talking all about how you can create a healthy lifestyle customized to your personal body chemistry and needs. Without further ado, here is the one and only JJ Virgin.
Awesome to be here.
Thank you so much. There is so much that I want to dive deep into today. I have been obsessed with JJ's ideology, and she focuses on holistic nutrition. Please tell us how you got started, how you got into nutrition, and then I'm going to pick your brain today.
I think for anyone starting out who, because I have one son who knows exactly what he wants to do in life. Like, he is sure, and I agree. He'll be a math professor. He lives and breathes it. The other one has zero clue what he wants to do. And both are right, you know, and I think that we tend to think, oh, I should have it all figured out and know what I want to do. Well, I went off to college thinking I was going to be a stage actress. And I went off to UCLA with a theater scholarship. But I was always obsessed from the age, young age, I was obsessed with nutrition and exercise. Now, way back when, Emily, like, there were no aerobics. There weren't really gyms. I used to work out with the football players in their gym in high school. I taught calisthenics early on and dance. It was when things like jazzercise were just coming out. I actually worked for Richard Simmons in his anatomy asylum way back when. And what's important is all these things, like I go off to UCLA thinking I'm going to become a stage actress, I'd been training at American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, like one of the best places. And UCLA just wasn't geared towards that. And everyone there, they said, oh, you're training to be a waitress. And I'm like, you know, I don't think so. That's not why I'm going to college. So I decided to become an English major, so at least I'd know how to write by the time I graduated. And then I started taking nutrition and exercise science classes and was like, oh my gosh, by too many units. So I graduated in English and then jumped into exercise science and literally paid my way through school teaching aerobics, personal training, which I was one of the first three personal trainers out there that I know of, me, Body by Jake, and Mark Sisson of Mark's Daily Apple and Primal Kitchen.
Yes.
But I paid my way through college catering and teaching fitness. So it's just crazy how all those things kind of come around that now I write and I perform because I speak and I do everything around nutrition and fitness, right? So even though you might feel like your path, you're like I'm all over the place, you'll see at some point that that was all super important research and development for where you end up.
So true. And then what led you to starting your own business?
I've always had my own businesses. Here's why. I had one time I got a job. I mean, I had jobs in college, but mainly in college, I was working for myself. Once I discovered personal training, that was that. I had a full-blown business before I graduated from college while all my friends had to go get suits and sit in an office, which just sounded like a horrible, horrible fate. I knew I didn't want to do that, but I was one of those kids that was the entrepreneur in the neighborhood trying to like figure out what I could sell, right? So I've always been that way. I had one job. Friends convinced me that I should come do nutrition and fitness in their personal, in their physical therapy an office. And so I went in there, thought, okay, this will be great. I lasted 3 months. I got fired because I had too many ideas. So I went, you know what? This is just, it's not my thing because I won't fire myself. I might be a really bad boss to myself, but I'm pretty sure I won't fire myself. So I just, that's just not the way I think. And I'm really not very employable.
I think it's interesting that you realize that not everyone can work for someone else and you decided to be your own CEO, your own boss, and start something that I think a lot of people think in nutrition and starting your own program is a saturated market, but I feel that you found the niche in that market. And I just want to say how I resonate with you and your programs, just your ideology in general. When I first discovered you, I was in college and I've always lived a very healthy life as a fitness instructor, always been obsessed by nutrition as well. But what really helped me just resonate with you is you said, your body isn't a bank account. It's a chemistry lab. And the second I saw that that was basically what your whole business and what you are about and how calories count, but where they come from counts more. And I would be in college and seeing so many people live unhealthy lives, whether it's just junk food in the library, outside of the library, you know, every single day. And I was so focused on my health, not only because I wanted to choose those nutrition foods, but because it made me feel good and I wanted to live that healthy life. I'm not trying to say in spite of people, but you look at these, let's say girls in college, and it's really easy to say, how are they eating junk food all day and drinking so much alcohol? And they're so stick thin. Let's say you don't feel like you're getting those same results, but you're eating so healthy. So the second that I saw you write about that, I realized that of course there's so much of that physical aspect, but it's also internal as well. And the inside and that your body's a chemistry lab. That right away, I just became obsessed with what you're about.
This is important, Emily, because when I said that, it was like I was a crazy person. And you said a couple things I'd love to pull out. Number one, you said, oh, it's such a saturated market. Well, nothing's saturated if you do differently. Mm-hmm. When you do differently, right? Then things shift. So I went into the weight loss market. That's ultimately where I, you know, my program, my big promise of my programs when I was first developing them was all around weight loss. And what I discovered early on is that what I was being taught in graduate and doctoral school actually didn't work. That to when you created this calorie deficit, either by exercising more or eating less, that your body basically gave you the finger and said, oh, no, you don't either. And some people it would work for, but some people it didn't. And after I got over my initial thought process, oh, there must be cheating, I went, all right, what else is going on? Right. And that's when I started doing the research of this. I went, okay, so maybe your body isn't a bank account. This whole thing isn't working. Well, That was and still is the predominant viewpoint of how we lose weight. And I was like, no. And here I am just like a little nutritionist over here. Well, I'm not little, I'm 6 feet tall, but still they're like, she's crazy. I can't believe she's saying that. That's just wrong, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, coming out with things like artificial sweeteners make you gain weight, you know, all that kind of stuff. And now it's a lot of this is just recognized as you know, reality and truth. But back when I first started to talk about it, you've got to be bold and courageous. And when you see something that flies in the face of the way people are doing it, that will be a game changer, do it. So, you know, when you look at my first book, Virgin Diet, all I did was take something, a tool we'd been using in functional medicine for decades, really, an elimination diet to help people who had, you know, everything from autoimmune disease to weight loss resistance. Mm-hmm. And all I did was notice that, wow, when we pull there, the foods they're having you do an elimination diet are really actually not all the most common food culprits. And we're making it way more complicated than it needs to be. And actually, if you just pull out the most common offenders, the average person loses weight. I mean, the average person going on the Virgin Diet loses up to 7 pounds in a week. Crazy. Because they're losing that inflammation, but they're also losing the cravings, the joint pain, the headaches, the brain fog, you know, all that stuff. Right. And so while they came in because they wanted to lose weight, they stayed because they're like, I feel so good. And, but the bigger important thing is it helps people connect the dots between what you're eating and how you feel and what you weigh, instead of making go, oh, how many points should I have? Can I have this many points or this many calories? You know, to make them realize that, gosh, food is information. And you want to make sure that, and it differs for everybody. What's good information for me might be bad information for you. And I want to make sure that I'm telling my body, hey, burn fat. Right. Hey, you know, have great energy. Hey, stabilize your blood sugar. Right?
Right. And that example that I was saying in college, when you look at other people and they're eating so poorly, do you think that catches up to them?
I sure hope so. Because like, it, you know, I still remember we had a girl in high school who was absolutely gorgeous. She was Chinese. Her name was Judy. I cannot remember her last name, but she lived on candy and soda and alcohol. Now she smoked cigarettes. So as we know, that can help you lose weight and it's so healthy, kidding. But you know, she was just eating garbage. That's all she ate was garbage. Her skin was perfect and flawless. She was skinny as a rail. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like it just, you know, so, right. But here's the thing, whether it's weight or whether it's accelerated aging, there are very few George Burns out there. There are very few people that can treat their body like trash, you know, smoke, drink in excess, eat a bunch of garbage and live to 100 plus and be healthy. Mm. But we also know too, that while food, I always think the first thing that you need to do here is change what's at the end of your fork. Mm. But we know that there's a lot more to health than just eating healthy. I mean, even too much food can be unhealthy, and it's really eating the right healthy foods for you. But beyond health, beyond the food, you have to think of the exercise and the sleep and your relationships and a bigger purpose. I mean, there's a lot more than just, you know, eating your broccoli.
Right. I've read Miracle Mindset. We'll go into that later. I've read Sugar Impact Diet and Virgin Diet. I literally have it right here. I have also Virgin Diet. I would literally would take notes, highlight. I would sometimes take pictures of parts of it. If you have not read her books, please order them on Amazon, get them from her website. You must. I learned so much. It's so informative. But number one is you talk about those foods to eliminate from your diet. It's not changing another aspect of your life. It's just eliminating foods that cause inflammation. So I want you to take us through that journey and the Virgin Diet and what foods those are to take out from your diet, or at least kind of play around to see if they affect you negatively.
Right. And that's the important thing, is that this is really taking you on your own personal journey as health detective, so that you can, first of all, know your starting point. How am I feeling right now? What's going on with gas and bloating and headaches and joint pain and fatigue and food cravings and any autoimmune-ish types of things, skin problems, weight issues, belly fats? What's going on with all that stuff? Mm-hmm, so you first do that. And you really kind of get to, this is what I'm used to living like. And what I find, Emily, is so many people, they think that oh, I just get tired every afternoon, or, oh yeah, my skin just breaks out, or yeah, I'm always a little bloated. They think that's just normal.
Right.
But it's not. Your body just is trying to tell you, it just can't send you an email. So this is the way it's telling you that this is not working for you.
Right.
And so what we do is we're going to pull out the 7 most likely culprits, and there's a little trick on them, they'll tell you. And we do that for 3 weeks. Now, the first week is always the most challenging, because when you're eating a food that doesn't work for you, your body actually starts to crave the very foods that is hurting you. Mm. Because a food intolerance is very different than an allergy. We know if we have an allergy, someone opens peanuts on the plane and your throat closes up. That's an allergy. Or, Midori alcohol, which is an icky thing anyway, this melon liqueur. If I drink that, I get hives. So, if there's something that doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. Most likely. A food intolerance is delayed. It can be delayed as much as an hour or a couple days. It happens when you eat a food, and a lot of this also has to do with if you're stressed, your stomach acid is lower, you're not chewing well, and you don't break down that food well, your guts become more permeable, either due to stress, gluten, which makes your gut more permeable, fructose, which makes your gut more permeable, a lot of different pain medications, but stress being the biggest culprit of all, mm-hmm. makes your gut, impacts your small intestinal permeability, really the how well that keeps things in that should be kept in, lets those food particles, the little proteins, get out into circulation, where your body goes, what on earth is this? What is this doing here? It shouldn't be here. Sees it as a foreign little invader and launches an immune attack by letting go of some antibodies that grab a hold of these little proteins, these antigens, and form a complex. Now, these little immune complexes, if this was something you ate every once in a while, your body has little macrophages like Pac-Man that eat them up and get them rid of them. But when you overload the system by having these things all the time, they then accumulate, and that's when they cause all of these different types of symptoms. Well, if you're used to eating them all the time and you just stop, your body's still producing those antibodies going, I'm ready. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, where are you? So you start to go, where is it? You find that you're craving it, which I always tell people, as we're pulling these foods, I like to set this up this way, Emily, because when I say these foods, people are like, oh my gosh, okay, I can give up that one and that one and that one, but not this one.
Right.
And whatever the one is that you think you can't give up, I can pretty much guarantee you that's the problem one, because it's always that way.
That's so interesting.
So, and that's why people will try to negotiate, I'll give up 6 of the 7. It's like, no. So at first I just focused on 6 of the 7 foods, gluten, mm-hmm. dairy, eggs. And when I did food sensitivity testing, because I was doing that for over a year with doctors in their offices and teaching lab testing to doctors. So I was seeing a lot of tests. And what I saw was that the majority of people reacted first to eggs and dairy. Second tier was soy, corn, and peanuts. Gluten was a different type of test. About 40% of people tended to react to it. However, gluten triggers release of something called zonulin that makes your gut more permeable. So my first rendition of this, because I kept, first I was having people take the test, then seeing the results, then removing the foods. Then it was 3 weeks between the time I had them take the test till I usually got the test results back. So I finally went, I'll just pull the foods out anyway. And what I discovered was we're actually better if we just pull the foods out. And then at the end of 3 to 4 weeks, when our body's had a chance to detox and reset and find that new normal that's got where you've got great energy and focus and no bloating and your joint pain's gone, then we go back one by one and test the foods and go, how are you feeling? So you can connect the dots, right?
Right.
But when I first pulled the 6 foods out, what I found was people started eating a lot of sugar. And I'm like, well, that was not a successful thing.
Right.
And really, fructose can really mess things up, because fructose can make your gut more leaky too. And I'm not talking about, hey, you ate some blueberries. I'm talking about having those green drinks with all the fruit juice in them, and having anything sweetened with apple juice concentrate, all the things that hide out in the health food stores posing as healthy options, like agave and apple juice concentrate and dried fruit, that you're like, oh no, I'm doing something good. I'm having a smoothie, right?
You had a post, you were saying that apple juice has more fructose than soda. Mind blown, right?
Yeah, mind blown. Boy, did I get flack for that one. But hey, it's not me making that up, man.
Right.
Those are the facts of the facts, Jack. So apple juice is worse for you than the soda in my mind. Yes, it's it's natural, but you know, there's a lot of things that are natural, like arsenic, that aren't necessarily right. things you want to indulge in. So that's why we got to seven foods, because I didn't want people to replace one bad thing for another bad thing. And it's not saying that those six and seven foods are all bad. It's saying they might be bad for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why you go through this process. And what I have people do that makes it easy to do is, instead of saying, take the food out, right? Because what I discovered at first is if I just told them to take the food out, then they would find really bad food to put in place of it.
Of course. Like,
wow, why are you having that gluten-free cupcake? So instead, I gave them really specific swaps, which I will tell you 7-8 years ago was really hard because there were no cassava tortillas and there was no flax milk, like all the stuff we have now that makes it so easy. Like, right. My God, I can make a vegan lasagna that rocks, right? That's dairy-free, gluten-free, egg-free, soy-free. So there's so many great options out there. And what I find with people is once they learn how to do these swaps and they see how much better they feel, they normally don't even want to go back and test. Now, I always want people to test because I think it's important to understand what these foods are doing to you so that if you're someone who doesn't handle gluten, like I can't handle gluten or dairy or eggs, so if you're one of those people, then you know, always carry enzymes that can break these down. If you're dining out and you can't make sure that you're 100% careful, like even if someone tells me, I don't believe them, you know,
right.
So
right.
I always take enzymes, but you also know what to keep out of your diet.
Of course.
Then you just feel like, why go through life? And I find with most people, I mean, most people aren't going, you know, I'm going to eat really crappy. I think I'll just eat the most unhealthy diet possible. Most people are trying to eat healthy, but they don't realize that some of these healthy foods could be hurting them. And so then they're not getting the results they want. And they go, well, this doesn't work. I might as well just go eat whatever I want. Right.
So
that's what's frustrating because I don't believe most people set out and go, I think I'll just eat a bunch of junk food. They just finally go, well, you know, I tried so hard and nothing's working. Well, it just was that you were following the wrong set of rules, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to thank you because after reading your book and learning about the virgin diet is when I eliminated all those foods and I was dealing with a lot of inflammation, a lot of pain. I couldn't think what was causing the pain. I know that I was already dairy free. I knew that I couldn't have any dairy in my diet. I didn't have much gluten either. And there were just and I was thinking, what else can there be? You know, those are the two main that people begin to eliminate. I found out that eggs, I can tolerate egg whites, but I can't tolerate egg yolk. And still egg whites are iffy. Because of you, I realized how inflamed I got from eggs. And it's crazy because I would have never thought that.
I know. I always thought, you know, eggs are nature's perfect food.
Right.
But not for me. And here's the other part with eggs. You are what you eat eight. So it may be cow eggs or just cow eggs, chicken eggs. Yeah. Eat the cow egg. Might be chicken eggs. But you could eat a duck egg, right? So you have to see what kind of eggs you can eat. Or it could be that you can't eat the factory chicken eggs, which you shouldn't be eating anyway.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say.
But you can eat pastured eggs because they're entirely different foods, those pastured eggs versus the factory eggs. And we don't want to support the factory chicken farmers anyway. So right. We want to support those pastured chicken farmers. So,
of course. And you're telling people that just try this for 3 weeks. And then I'm not saying forever, you have to eliminate
right.
these.
3 weeks. We can do anything
for
3 weeks.
You can do it.
Weeks,
and
right?
then you can start to put it back and see if that's what's causing your intolerance.
So the seven foods that are most likely to cause weight gain are gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, corn, peanuts, and sugar and artificial sweeteners.
Yeah. And that's what I find though is it tends to be dairy and gluten. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people can do fine with say goat and sheep, but cow's milk dairy doesn't work. And then eggs tend to be, especially with people with autoimmune disease, or skin issues, eczema, psoriasis, eggs can definitely be a trigger there.
You were talking a lot about sugar. So how do people tackle sugar? Because sugar hides in everything, especially in America. And I know you also talk about a lot of harmful habits that make you store body fat. How can people kind of navigate around the food industry that's so heavily saturated by sugar?
I know, isn't it really ridiculous?
Sneaky sugars. Yeah.
So I don't have a sweet tooth.
Lucky
so I never
you.
Really thought about it. I know. Thanks, Mom. It's funny. I was raised, I'm adopted. My real mom, the mom who raised me, because anyone who had to raise me is definitely the real thing. Anyway, my adopted real mom, she has a massive sweet tooth. I was raised on Pop-Tarts and Captain Crunch and Cocoa Puffs, dessert every night after dinner. And then at age 12, I was like, enough of that. I just stopped it all. It drove her crazy, by the way. But I don't really have a sweet tooth. I'll eat, you know, every once in a while, a couple bites of dessert, but I could care less. Like if you said to me today, you can never have any of that stuff again, I'd be like, eh, okay. But if you said you can't have, you know, grass-fed steak or wild salmon, that would be it. So we all have our things. I'm definitely a salty and savory, not a sweet. But what I discovered when I was doing the Virgin Diet with people was where people would get tripped up is on the pulling out the sugar. And first of all, they would think there was two camps, and sometimes people fell into both, which was even worse. The first camp was, I just can't get control over my sweet tooth. I can't. And the second camp was they were just confused. They were like, but I'm just having honey.
Right.
Or I'm having artificial sweeteners, you
or
know?
Agave.
Yeah, but it's agave, it's all natural, it's honey, yeah. It's bees. Well, I'm not, you know, I know there's a big debate. I personally think stevia, monk fruit, those are on my okay list.
Okay.
But the artificial sweeteners are, to me, the worst. It goes in this kind of hierarchy. Artificial mm-hmm. sweeteners are the worst. Mm-hmm. Hands down, bad science experiment on us, has clearly not worked. Why are they still around? They should be gone. I mean, just look at what sucralose does to your gut microbiome. You can become glucose intolerant in a week. That's why they're correlating people having artificial sweeteners and a higher risk of diabetes and a larger waist circumference. So clearly not working. But then you have sugar. And I mean, just, you know, sugar is kind of when you start to look at all the major diseases, and sugar plays a role in all of them. Right now, boy, you want to have a strong immune system. One of the worst things you can do is eat sugar.
Right.
But the challenge is you can think you're doing so well and you don't realize in all the crazy places sugar is sneaking in. Like you get the little thing at the store that says no sugar added, you know, whether it's a little, you know, cereal or a mm-hmm. bar or whatever
these
things
are. What are they replacing that with?
Well, yeah. When they say no sugar added, turns out they could do apple juice concentrate, which is worse than table sugar because it's higher in fructose than high fructose corn syrup, and say no sugar added. So they can lie with those things. Or a lot of times they'll say no sugar added and they'll put artificial sweeteners in. So you have to be super careful with those things, right? You know, it's just like when they say fat free and then they put a lot of sugar in.
Right.
Whenever they have something like, we can't sell air. I mean, I guess we could, but you know, if you're pulling one thing out, you're like, what'd they put in instead of that? So what I started to realize is how many different ways we're lying about it, because sugar is the number one recreational drug of choice, to quote my buddy, Dr. Mark Hyman. And once you start to get a little bit of it, your little taste receptors go, oh, I need more of that, right? We're hardwired to seek out sugar and fat. And there was the great book, you know, Salt, Sugar, and Fat, that told all about that and how the food industry was doing these things, because it made you need more and more and more. You eat a salty fast food thing with a soda that's sugary, and then you have the sugar, and then your blood sugar crashes, and then you need more. And, you know, you look at what all that sugar does and all the silly snacking, because when you eat these little sugar pops of food, it, you know, every time you eat, you elevate your blood sugar. And if you elevate your blood sugar, your insulin has to go up, which drives your blood sugar back down. But if your insulin's up, you can't access stored fat for fuel. So now you're hungry again. So all of a sudden you're eating all throughout the day with elevated blood sugar and insulin, which then puts you at five times the risk. Even if you're slightly elevated in your blood sugar, you're five times the risk of dementia. Like crazy stuff.
Ooh.
Besides it feeding the worst cancers, besides the elevation of triglycerides, besides fructose being the easiest way to create hypertension, besides the insulin resistance. I mean, it's just on and on and on. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, well, we need a little sugar. I'm like, actually, Mom, we don't. What you really want your body to do is make it slowly from the food you eat, to make it from the little bit of sweet potato that you ate or the wild rice. Your body is trained to do that so that you have a slow blood sugar release and that you have a lot of fiber with whatever food you eat, not to get it. They even do this, like you go to a restaurant, these nice steakhouses where you order this great steak and they put wheat flour on it, right? Which basically is sugar. We know that, you know, when you put wheat flour, like wheat flour turns immediately into sugar, high starch, easy turn to sugar. But then those little salad dressings, like my biggest example of this one is, you know, when I would look at clients' diets and go, oh, I just had a salad. I'm like, a salad. Okay, well, what was on that salad? Well, there were candied pecans. You know, first of all, it's like candied pecans. And then I had some dried cranberries. And then it was, you know, raspberry vinaigrette. And I'm like, so you had a sundae with some lettuce leaves on it, right? You know?
When you're, let's say, shopping at the grocery store, do you have any red flag ingredients that whether you see in, let's say, dark chocolate, you might think it's healthier, or honey? Is there some added substitute that it is the biggest red flag?
So, I mean, the most important thing at the supermarket is to get the things that don't have to have any ingredients listed. That's very, the big, here's the big goal. The big goal is like you get a butternut squash. It doesn't have to have an ingredient list. It's butternut squash. Or you get the wild salmon. All it has to say is wild salmon instead of farm raised, right? So my biggest goal.
That's another thing that I, after reading your book, I now buy wild instead of farm.
Yes, wild. Oh, yeah. And it's challenging because there are some good farms, but you don't know. So in the absence of understanding, it's safest to go wild. It's safest to go pastured. It's safest to go grass finished, right? But ideally in the supermarket, you are buying the majority of your things don't need to have a label on them. You know, wild rice says wild rice on it. Where it's going to be different are the things that we'll get. Like I'm looking, going through my pantry right now. So I buy pastured eggs, which I don't get to eat, but my husband does. And then we buy uncured bacon with no sugar added. That's a big place they sneak it. We buy coconut milk, oat milk, and flaxseed milk with no sugar added. We're really careful about that. If we do buy some of the pastas, they're usually lentil pastas. We make sure there's nothing weird, like they have an added corn or something like that. If we buy packaged salad dressings, we're making sure it doesn't have agave or high fructose corn syrup or fructose in it, and then or canola oil or any damaged icky oils. And I mean, the biggest thing is to buy as close to nature as possible. You want to unprocess your diet. I love that phrase from my friend, Natalie Jill, but it's not, you know, that doesn't mean I don't eat processed foods. I mean, I make my own, like I don't make them myself, but I have my own energy bars, protein bars, and those are processed.
They're
of course.
So good.
Aren't they great? Yum. But they don't have any
fun shakes, the chocolate.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed.
Thank you. So, but they don't have any icky poo ingredients in them. So you want to, you know, the majority of your diet, ideally you're eating, you know, your veggies and slow, low carbs and clean protein, healthy fats. And then I carry around with me bars and nuts. And that's about it, you know.
So if you don't know what to trust, just go onto your website and you have to have there. Her bars are delicious. I was very hesitant about going into bars because of how many added ingredients there are. And sometimes I'm like, is this okay to eat? But I knew it was okay if it was your bar.
So here's the reason I have those things is I started actually making them myself, like making them, like cooking. I was a caterer. I catered in college too. I catered in high school. I catered in college. And I had a catering business out of college too. So I've always been involved with food. And when I travel, not now, but I used to travel 70% of the time.
Back in the day.
It's just not really fun anymore either. But when you do that, you're going to have to bring things with you. Like, you know, and so they saved me. Bars have saved me all over the world. And so that's why I started to make them. I wish I loved grass-fed jerky and salmon jerky and all those things, but I just don't.
Me too.
I get them for my family, but I'm like, I really have to be starving to eat them. But there are some amazing ones out there, like shout out to Paleo Valley and Vital Choice. I just, not my gig. I always look at what's the best we can do in the situation. And I always carry bars with me because they are my emergency food. They're the backup plan so I don't get in trouble.
That's so true about having an emergency food. I mean, I have an emergency JJ Virgin bar in my car, not kidding you, or in my purse or in my gym bag, because I'd rather have a healthy emergency food. Or even, I used to travel a lot for work and those save me. Or even before you get on the flight, just preparing, even though you think you're not going to be hungry, preparing yourself to have that healthy food that's going to be in front of you. And also, that just reminds me, when I was traveling a lot of times, you know, you feel like your gut health is not 100% because you're on the plane so much and you're in airports. And a lot of times you feel like you kind of need a detox, or even when I was in college, you felt like that. Or just with any gut health issues, sometimes you feel like you need a reset. I know you've talked about 6 ways to detox naturally. What would you recommend if someone wants to go through detox? And I know there's all these these trends about juice cleanse, lose this amount of weight. Ugh. Does that work? So tell us about all that.
I know I'm so, the juice cleanse thing has got to get retired.
Preach to that.
Yeah. In order for you, like, first of all, you need to be detoxing every single day of your life, because every single day you are getting confronted with toxins. I love focused detox cleanses that really get you to pay attention to that and do some advanced strategies. So while after that cleanse, you're pulling a lot of those advanced strategies into your everyday life. So while I'm going to say, hey, we need to detox daily, I believe that a couple times a year, and ideally led with a coach or in a group, you are doing a detox where you're really focused. And there's a couple key important things. Number one, you want to be making sure, first of all, that you're limiting toxins as much as possible in your environment. I mean, step one. You could do all the best detox stuff, but yeah, if you're being confronted by toxins on a daily basis and you're not doing anything there, you know, come on, do that, fix that.
That environment that causes you to have toxins around you.
Well, I mean, everything. It's in the air, the water. Like, let's say that you're drinking water from plastic bottles. You're getting dry cleaning and you're just like putting it in your car and sitting in your car in the heat with your dry cleaning.
Interesting.
You know, a lot of the household cleaners, a lot of the personal care products. I mean, like, you think of, it's the things you do every single day that make the difference. So you want an organic dry cleaner. You want to make sure that you're using clean skincare products and home cleaning products. Like, I have very specific brands that I will use for all of those things. Dental products. I use a charcoal based toothpaste for my, and it's a tooth powder for my dental products. I mean, it's
really?
Very, very careful. Yes. Primal Life Organics, from my girl, from Trina Felber. Amazing. Amazing. I'm like addicted to this stuff. It's tooth powder. I was like, ew, it's so great. So, you know, and I also use her charcoal toothpicks, because a lot of those little flosser sticks, which I love flosser sticks, have fluoride in them. So again, we're just looking at where are all the places, if you start to do an audit of, you know, how you go through your day, where could you be potentially getting toxins? Food, in what you drink, in what you put on yourself, and what you clean the house with. If you have little animals, like I have a very pretty little doggy, and she, you know, like if you clean the floor with something toxic and they lick it, you got a problem. So for your little pets, you want to make sure you're careful too. Do it for them and your kiddos. So that's step one. And then look at how can you start to release more toxins? Well, sweat. I have a sunlight and sauna at my house. So I do my sauna a couple times a week. But exercise is a great one. Dry brushing before taking an Epsom salts bath in your diet, eating a lot of fiber, eating a lot of cruciferous vegetables, and especially foods rich in sulfur. The challenge with the juice cleanses, sulfur, yeah, because you need sulfur for detoxification. So that would be, if you can eat eggs, but it would be things like, it's the stinky vegetables. You know, it's like when you walk in the house and you go, someone cooking broccoli or Brussels sprouts or cauliflower, we eat one of those every single day because they're so good for detoxifying. And of course, fiber, because fiber helps soak up the toxins and, you know, helps you eliminate, because you really need to be making sure that you're pooping, peeing, and sweating. That's how we get rid of the toxins. And so those are the things you should be doing. And then, like, when we do group cleanses, we just add in, we'll always do some different stuff each time just to give people more strategies that can put into their daily life. Like maybe some intermittent fasting that helps with really a cellular detox, cleaning out the old bad cells. or doing green tea, which can be great for your gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. But if you just go do a juice cleanse, the challenge is you don't get the amino acids in the amount that you need to really grab onto those toxins as you free them up and get them out of the body. Actually get worse, not better. So those juice cleanses, I mean, it makes me crazy. But I think the other real important thing is I hear so often, oh my gosh, I heard you should do blah, blah, blah,
right?
Whatever the crazy thing is. And I'm like, oh, where'd you hear that? And they'll go, at the dry bar, yes. At the la, la, la. And I'm like, huh. Now, I don't know why, but just because someone eats does not give them, they're now not a nutrition expert, you know? I mean, but
so true. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you would never take someone who's been on a plane a bunch of times. Like I've flown so many times, but I couldn't pilot the plane, you know? So I don't know why we listen to people. Cause I will always ask, where did you hear that? You know? And they're like, oh, from my hairstylist, from the gal sitting next to me at the nail salon. And I'm like, really? You know,
that's and isn't it okay. Also true that if you're depriving yourself that much, your body's going to go into starvation mode, fight or flight, and it's going to end up storing more fat.
So this is an interesting thing. That's really for an extended period of time. Like if you do fasting, short-term fasting, that doesn't happen. Like you're fasting for a couple of days, but you want to prepare to fast because, you know, the first thing before you ever go even into, you know, intermittent fasting, but specifically 24, 48, 72 hour fasting, you really want to make sure you've got your detox pathways cranking because you're going to start freeing up fat and toxins get stored in fat. And if your detox pathways aren't working, you just are freeing up a lot of stuff that now you don't really want to have freed up, right?
Right.
You got to get it out. So that's important. But yeah, if you chronically lowered your calories over time, your body's going to go enough is enough and downshift. But right. If you cycle, and this is why you really want caloric variability, just like you do with the gym, you would never go to the gym and do the exact same thing every single day. I would hope. I mean, people do. I see them do it.
Many do, much to my dismay, but yes.
Yeah. And I see those people not getting really good results, you know, but if you go in there and shake it up all the time, I think, you know, Beachbody calls it muscle confusion, but it's true. Like your body has to keep getting stressed, respond to stress, get stronger. If you do the same thing day in, day out with diet, right, I'm just going to lower my calories and keep it there. Well, initially you'll lose some weight and then your body's going to downshift, your thyroid's going to downregulate and you'll start to get stuck. So you do not want to do that. It's much smarter to throw in some intermittent fasting days to cycle your calories. Do some caloric variability.
Right. So in terms of a detox, if you feel like you need a gut health detox, do you just recommend doing more intermittent fasting or preparing maybe for a full fast, but nothing with those juice cleanses?
If you want to do a detox, what I say first is, and I think a detox actually should be really like, here's my process. Here's my whole roadmap. I think first thing that you should do before you do anything else is just improve the quality of the food you eat. You know, I'm always amazed people come in and I go, I need to do all of this. I'm like, that's great. Have you eaten a vegetable lately? Let's just start first with improving the quality of the food you eat. Then let's make sure that you just start working on meals, not eating snack meal and grazing and all that garbage. That's ridiculous. So start working on getting 3 meals a day, making sure at each meal you're getting clean protein, healthy fats, slow, low carbs, lots of non-starchy vegetables. And then start to look at giving yourself at least 3 to 4 hours before bed as a fast and, you know, eat breakfast an hour or two after waking and start to get that 12-hour fast overnight, then take it to a 10-hour fast overnight, then start throwing in some 8-hour intermittent fastings. Along the way, you know, so it's like first I work on improve food quality, and then I work on make the meals really, you know, ideal in terms of blood sugar balance. Then I have you figure out your hidden food sensitivities, by the way, next up. Then I'll have you go on a little bit of a detox, get those detox pathways going. Then let's figure, really get your blood sugar balanced with sugar impact diet. Then we can start doing intermittent fasting and fasting, right?
Right.
And then keep doing those detoxes as a group every, you know, 4 to 6 months. But you're just always... it's never the same. You're using Virgin Diet to figure out what your food intolerances are. That actually should be once a year just to confirm nothing has happened. And then Sugar Impact Diet, you're really refining and balancing your blood sugar. So you're preparing for fasting, intermittent fasting,
make it detoxes. Holistic. Yeah.
Yeah. Detoxes are done because it's like, you know, you go to the gym and then you say, hey, I think I'm going to start trying spin, or I'll start doing Zumba, or I'll start doing yoga. Great. You cycle in different things. You don't just stay on the same thing the whole time, or otherwise your body just plateaus and you kind of get to where you're going to get. You got to keep shifting it up.
I want to shift it over to talk about supplements. I know you recommend supplements that everybody should be taking every day. So what are those supplements?
So I think the first thing, you know, everybody always wants, I want the fat burner. I'm like, you know what?
If it could exist, that would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome? Like the reality is get your body, or I want the fast metabolism pills. It's like, no, you really don't. That means you're speeding up your aging process too. You want an efficient, like you want an effective metabolism. You want a metabolism where your body can burn off fat. And so that first step is to get the right nutrients on board. So the first thing is to take a really high quality multivitamin, multimineral antioxidant formula. Key things here is to make sure that you don't have one that's got folic acid in it. You want to make sure you've got folate and ideally 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, 5-MTHFR. And also you want to look for one that has tocotrienols, and specifically I look for delta tocotrienols as opposed to alpha tocopherol, which we now have found that can be problematic and potentially put you at risk for cancer. It doesn't mean don't get it in your diet, but you're getting too much when you start to supplement. So these are just a couple of the basic things. I also look for not having iodine in my supplement. It's because it can create some issues with thyroid. So I'm looking for a good basic supplement with D3, K1 and 2. You're not going to get enough, by the way, of your mineral. Basically, the supplement will probably be 4 to 6 pills or more a day. You know, it's highly unlikely you're going to be able to get enough of, say, minerals, and you'll probably need supplemental magnesium as well because, you know, minerals are bigger. But that's step one, is a good multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula. Probably need a little additional magnesium. I find most people do. And probably need some additional D3, K1, and 2. I do vitamin D based on labs. So you do vitamin D testing and you optimize to 50 to 80 NGs per ml. I really think this is one of the biggest issues we have right now with people getting sick. Kind of, I would love to
see now, this. More than ever.
Yeah. I saw some studies on it because when this all started happening, I thought, all right, the people that seem to be at the biggest risk are also people who traditionally tend to have the lowest vitamin D, and the studies are starting to show that. So everybody I know, I'm like, test your vitamin D, take vitamin D. Generally, we need some supplemental vitamin C above, which you'll get in a multi. And if you're under stress or you've got anything going on with your immune system, you're going to want to have more. And then a good essential fatty acid formula. So especially triglyceride-bound omega-3s, super duper important. Those are the basics.
So we got magnesium, D3, K1 and 2, vitamin C, and omega-3s. Magnesium, I know, supports your immune system and can help regulate your blood sugar and insulin levels and even help with bloating. Vitamin D, many of us are not getting enough of it, especially if you live in the East Coast versus the West Coast, for example. Vitamin D can prevent bone disorders, and it is really important for the growth and the health of your bones and muscles. K1 is involved in blood coagulation, and K2 can help benefit your bone and heart health. And then your omega-3s, that can lower your blood pressure, support your heart health, may even reduce inflammation, and it has many other benefits as well. I currently take magnesium, vitamin D, and omega-3s, sometimes vitamin C, or I just get it in an orange, but now this is opening my mind up to maybe taking on more supplements.
That's not the sexy stuff. Like, you know, people are like, but the fun stuff, like, nope, that's where you go first. Like if you're going to go look at a car and you of course walk into the dealership and you want to focus on what color paint and the the wheels, and I understand, but, and you know, the interior, but if the engine's not working or the battery's not there, because I've got electric cars, it doesn't matter how cool the interior and exterior are, because it ain't going anywhere. It's the same thing with supplements. You need to get your basics dialed first, because if you're eating correctly, you've figured out your hidden food intolerances, you've balanced your blood sugar, you know, you're doing that caloric variability, you've improved your food quality, and you're taking the basics and getting good sleep, because that will dictate so much of your hormonal health.
Of course.
Then you can figure out, okay, now what do I need beyond that? Now I take, like, I'm a big supplement fan and I take a bunch, but I always get the basics first and let's see how you feel then. So much of the stuff people are like, I need something because I'm tired. I'm like, well, are you sleeping? You know, because if you're not sleeping, then that's the supplement you need.
Right,
you need the
factor.
Sleep supplement. Yes, like right. Go to sleep.
I was even listening to one of your podcast episodes also about thyroid health, and you were talking about how, I guess not exactly a supplement, but you were talking about how one of the most prescribed medicines is Synthroid. I was listening to that because I have hypothyroidism, and I was listening and I go, wait, I'm taking Synthroid. What's wrong with Synthroid? And then you were talking about T4, type of your hormone, how I think it was lacking that, or you could tell me more. But ever since I heard that episode is where I switched my thyroid medication to the one that you recommended that hormone is included. So thank you for that. And as you can tell, you've really influenced
Yay!
My life.
Well, I mean, thyroid, it's really a frustrating one, because it's very complex. I never realized it. I was working with an amazing doctor who was a thyroid fellow, and she taught me how complex the thyroid gland is and balancing it. And the challenge is, if your thyroid's not working well, then nothing else is going to work well. So it's like a master switch over there. So if it's low, then we have a problem. And so, but there's always more to it. Like, you really have to optimize gut health. I mean, your thyroid might be off because your gut is messed up, or it might be because you're stressed out. So you've really got to look at everything going on. And since most of thyroid issues are autoimmune, you've got to really be looking at what you can do to get, you know, your autoimmune titers down too, right? The antibodies down. It's not just a simple take this pill.
Go listen to that episode if you have any thyroid health issues, because it definitely influenced me. Speaking about supplements, I know you've also helped your son, who was in a tragic hit and run car accident, was in a coma. You actually cured him and his brain through, I know you talked about omega-3s. Can you just take me through that experience? I know it's a long story, but just overall through nutrition, how you were able to really just help your son in so many ways, save his life.
Yes. When he was 16, I have a 16-year-old at the time, he was crossing the street, got hit by a car, and left for dead in the street. Now, I'm going to tell the short version. It's all in what I actually renamed Emily Warrior Mom on how we did this. But I think the important thing is, you know, the doctors told us to let him die, and we overruled them, because as long as he was breathing, I was going to do everything I possibly could. And I just made the decision that I was going to do everything I possibly could to help my son be 110%, meaning to help him be better than he was before the accident. And I believe completely that we get what we expect. And that's what I expected. And that's how I proceeded. Now, I knew all along the way, hey, there were several times along the way, many, where he nearly died. So I couldn't control that, but I could control what I was thinking and what I was doing. And so I went out in search of everything I possibly could do to help him get through this. And I did, I had some amazing doctors around me, you know, telling me, hey, kids' brains, you'd be amazed what they can get through. So I just made this decision. I, you know, believe that, you know, the only limitations are the limitations in your mind. So I decided 110%, and that's where I went. And it took 6 years to get him there, maybe seven, but I can tell you now he's better than before the accident. I did a lot of things that at the time were very bold. Like I got him on high dose fish oil, kind of behind the doctor's back, got him on, I was doing smoothies in my NutriBullet at the hospital, started kind of some accelerated physical therapy, hyperbaric stem cell, neurofeedback, ping pong, and a lot of different things to bring him there. And I think the biggest part was he'd always been taught that too. And from the moment I started you know, I was with him, I was telling him he was going to be 110%, even when he was in the coma. And everyone around him told him that. And so despite the 13 fractures and the multiple brain bleeds and being in a coma, the worst coma, highest Apgar score you could, or I'm sorry, that's a different score, highest Glasgow coma score you could get, he just, that's what he knew. Like he was going to be 110%. He was going to get through this. And so his state of mind has never been a victim. He's, you know, I believe there are no victims, only volunteers. He's always been a victor. We say, you know, car zero, grant one, but, it kind of teaches you when you go through something like that, how key and critical your mindset is. Mm-hmm. And that's so much, you know, we get what we expect. So ask the right questions. My question was always, how do I get my son to 110%?
You are a warrior. I know you said his name means that too. So a true warrior for taking charge.
To hear more about her life-changing and powerful story, read her book, Miracle Mindset.
JJ, my last and final question for you is, at Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. So what are you addicted to?
I am addicted to growth. So what I'm really addicted to, I think that we should approach life. I'm addicted to two things, I would say. I think we should approach life with a student's mind, a beginner's mind. And so I'm always looking for where I can be challenged, growth. I think we're never better than we're challenged, and what we can learn that's new. And the other thing I'm really addicted to is relationships. And just having amazing relationships. I have the most incredible group of people that I call my extended family, and just incredible friends and peers. And that is just like my everything. So
that's beautiful. And where can people find you?
Two places. If you are a healthcare professional, mindsharecollaborative.com. And if you're not, or if you are, jjvirgin.com's got all the stuff, blogs and podcasts and recipes and exercises, everything.
I'm as obsessed as I am.
What an inspiring and informational interview I had with JJ today. JJ says that a positive mindset can be developed like a muscle. We can control our life if it doesn't just happen to us. JJ talked to us today about how to cleanse ourselves internally and externally. Externally, by managing your environment with toxins like chemicals. But toxins could also include people's toxins as well, like negative thoughts, people, situations, and how you accept them into your life. If you feel that you are intolerant to certain foods or have stubborn belly fat that just won't go away, try eliminating the 7 foods that we talked about today. Again, those foods are gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, corn, peanuts, and sugar and artificial sweeteners. Now remember, it doesn't mean you have to take out all of these foods from your diet forever. No. If you read her book, it explains it step by step on how you eliminate some of these foods little by little out of your diet, and then slowly bring them back one by one to see how they affect you. When I personally tried this strategy, I eliminated these foods out of my diet. I already didn't eat gluten and dairy, but I still felt like other foods could be the culprit for any inflammation I was feeling. So I tried bringing some of the elimination foods back after I took them all out one by one and noticed that I was intolerant to eggs. Crazy. Never thought that would happen. Also, peanuts sometimes didn't 100% agree with me. The yolk in eggs just doesn't agree with me. Egg whites I can sometimes handle. I would have never figured this out if I did not do the elimination diet like JJ recommends. Some of these foods are just high FODMAP foods or just foods that in general are likely to cause inflammation, which then leads to weight gain. Maybe one of these foods is your biggest culprit. JJ says that your fat is not your fault. We've been taught that typical diet foods like whole grains, egg white omelets, non-fat yogurts are the best options for weight loss. But remember, being healthy is individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. The so-called healthy foods that may actually be healthy for the normal person may really be making you gain weight, not lose it. Such a crazy concept to fathom. If you're eating all the right foods, but still not making any progress, then food intolerance may be to blame. Reach out to JJ at jj.virgin or myself at Fit Food Junkies, letting us know how you will utilize this valuable information from this interview to enhance your diet and your overall lifestyle to the best way possible. If you have not already, subscribe below. And also let us know how you incorporate, even if it's just one piece of advice in this interview, into your everyday life. I am so excited that you guys are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.